North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tens of thousands of Boeing machinists are on strike this morning after widely rejecting a contract endorsed by the company and union leaders. Union member Broderick Conway.
We all want a better future, and in order to have that, we have to have better support in our company. And it goes the same for them. If they want a better future, they got to know that their workers are being supported properly.
Boeing offered a 25% raise over 4 years, well short of the union's demand. Topic Ukraine, as British Prime Minister Keir Starmer visits President Biden at the White House today. They're considering loosening restrictions on Kyiv using Western missile hardware to strike deeper into Russia, something Vladimir Putin says would be an act of war. Former President Trump rejecting offers for another debate with Vice President Kamala Harris. Meanwhile, he's outlining a new plan that would not tax overtime pay. Cleanup in Louisiana after what Hurricane Francine left behind. Significant damage triggering widespread flooding. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he's troubled by the number of times local schools have to go to voters to raise more money through referendums.
Having to go to referendum just to keep the lights on, that's a bad sign. You know, that's not where we need to be as a state.
All told, Wisconsin schools will hold nearly three times as many local funding votes this year as last year. A four-legged favorite of Milwaukee Brewers fans has died. Hank, the ballpark pup, became the team's unofficial mascot in 2014. He was a stray who wandered into the Brewers' spring training facility in Arizona. After that, he came to Wisconsin to live with the Brewers executive's family until he died yesterday. The Brewers are asking people to donate to the Wisconsin Humane Society. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Billionaire philanthropist and ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has donated millions of dollars to a Duluth nonprofit. On Thursday, the Entrepreneur Fund announced that they had received a $9 million donation from Mackenzie Scott and Yield Giving. The organization says they'll be able to use the donation to continue supporting small businesses in the community and promote economic growth in underserved communities in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Scott has donated billions of dollars to nonprofits. The Superior Police Department has introduced a new dog to the force, but this one has a different job than the others. Mayor Jim Payne and the department's new therapy dog in training named Millie visited Bryant Elementary School on Wednesday. Mayor Payne says Millie's job is to provide emotional support to people who may be nervous about interacting with law enforcement authorities or have been the victim of a crime. Millie is just a puppy and is still in training, but will eventually work alongside a community service officer. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is working towards returning soon.
He's going to do everything he can to be out there, and we'll give him the week.
LaFleur added that Love has been at practice helping out this week.
Yeah, he's been out there at practice and been engaged, knows every play call, is always coaching up Malik, coaching up Sean, is doing a good job with it.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast. Highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
It's 60 at our studios.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The sun struggles up another beautiful day, and I felt glad in my own suspicious way. Yeah, despite the contradiction and confusion, felt tragic for that reason. There's malice and there's magic in every season. My falling waves are the bars of the surf.
Sandy, the other side of something.
The other side of something, yeah. Elvis Costello.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Hey, Calvin, do you want to hear about the other side of summer?
You know, I wish we were at the beginning of summer.
He'd like to be at the other side of summer.
Yeah, I'll take this side, though. Weather's beautiful.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Listen, we've been talking about, you know, the false claims, you know, with Trump and the Haitians and the people destroying, and, you know, the way of life in Ohio. And Sandy and I, you know, evolved the conversation, you know, during the break. And then after Brendan from New Jersey talked about the fact that they're trying to create this harmony and anger and
racial angst
against the immigrants and the black community in this nation. And I'm not saying that's not true, right?
Well, it's certainly true, and the fact is that creating xenophobia is a relatively easy thing to do. You just have to get people frightened first. And then you can start stirring the tribal instincts we all have, the DNA instincts we have for tribalism, to exclude those who aren't like us and to be afraid of those who aren't like us. And society was designed, you know, the success of society is premised on overcoming tribalism, because a tribe is a very small society. A combination of tribes is a big society, more benefit out of a bigger society. And so what's really happening here is they're trying to, this is a societally destructive strategy designed to divide up the society we live in so that it can be more easily controlled from a political standpoint that will tip on its head the demographics, the numbers, okay? And it's very, very cynical.
Well, but also to be able to blame another group of people.
Exactly.
For your situation. I'm struggling today because they're here.
Well, you can, yes, that's
all. And they're taking all of the resources.
Yeah, a guy named Oscar Handler wrote a book called The Uprooted a long time ago, all about this process and the cycle and how it is that every wave of immigrants is at the bottom of the totem pole, except the bottom of the totem pole is occupied by the African-American, and everything goes above that in terms of, and the most recent incoming tend to be quite racist in terms of their reaction to the African-Americans who live in America. And so this has been something that has been people have known this both societally and politically for a long time, but only those people who are cynical enough to want to use this tool and be societally destructive, pull it out and use it, and to disjoin us.
You know who's also known it?
What?
The African Americans.
Yes.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always. And real quick, I want to talk about Brandon's call a little bit. But if you don't mind, let me touch on
the
rules of war, you know, that we were talking about, you know, right before the top of the hour. I just find it very peculiar that, you know, we can negotiate rules of war. We can negotiate nuke treaties amongst different nations. You know, the NFL has just regulated kickoffs because of safety reasons. Kickoffs, many of us football fans think it's one of the best plays, most exciting plays in all of football.
But one of the most dangerous as well.
Regulate all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we cannot regulate the guns. I just find it so odd. But I did want to touch base on this organized religion topic. You know, unfortunately, religion used to be, I don't know, kind of open to interpretation. You follow your own instincts, your own guiding light, if you will. But faith has now been captured by the politicos. And obviously, they were using it for divide and conquer purposes. We've known that. We've seen that throughout history, and it's happening, you know, couldn't be clearer. So, you know, here's this one group that is so hell-bent on the we versus them meme, while they're totally disregarding child hunger and homelessness and a healthcare system that, you know, is unsatisfactory to many. It's just a strange, strange time. And I think what we have found is the big money in politics has taken over. It's no surprise. We hear about this all the time. But, you know, it's, again, in America, you used to be able to have a distinct difference between church and state. Now, with this extreme nationalism and religious tone, it's being used as a weapon. And I want to thank Brandon from New Jersey for his call. He was spot on.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned there was the inability to control guns, for instance, or to be responsive to the gun violence that resides daily within our cities, right? The carnage that's ongoing, that's within our cities and within our country. You know, the fact that we've had 590 mass killings, meaning someone kills four or more people. We had 590, I think, this year, and it's going to be, you know, it'll be at the rate of two a day before we're done with this year, probably. And we have violence within the cities and that's not being dealt with. You know, there are so many problems that are real problems and get totally distracted from by the craziness of politics, by the politics of personality, the politics of xenophobia, the politics of religious culture. It's all a smokescreen to keep us, I think, from recognizing that we have real issues in healthcare, we have real issues in education, we have real issues in the gun violence in our country.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Is the Sandy still there yet?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. The voice sounds different. I was curious. I am really concerned about the future of America. Ever since Trump got in there, it's one charade after another. You know, he's got this silly red cap on, make America great again. And America is crumbling. We're not paying attention to nothing. It's one crazy circus after another. our infrastructure's deteriorating. None of this, bridges are collapsing. Our country is just, and with this division, that, and that's all he's ever done. And I believe Kamala Harris brought that up about uniting this country. And if we don't start doing that, this country's gone.
Well, let me interrupt you, because I think that you're reciting the sort of the perilous condition of the country, when in fact the country, I don't think, is in a perilous condition. But we do have real issues to address. But we do have, if you measure prosperity the way Donald Trump measured it during his presidency, we have more of that prosperity today than we had then. You know, we've got a country that is in a position to solve its problems if it decides to address them. But the only perilous thing I think we've got going is this notion of the fact that we have culturally and societally decided to be at each other's throats. We've culturally and societally decided to focus on issues and problems that are not the real issues and problems that we have to address to make America better. Okay, I'm reluctant to say make America great again, because I picture myself in that silly red hat. I wonder if Donald Trump knows how silly he looks in that.
So, Sandy, let me kind of push back on the prosperity.
Well, it's not shared adequately.
Right. Okay. So that's at the root of it. It's not shared.
Yes.
And there's so many people who, and this is what we keep hearing, and it's kind of, you know, not as broad and heard as broadly as it should, that the prosperity of it is not the way it's shared.
Well, that's why I said, if you measured prosperity the way Donald Trump did during his, we are more prosperous today. The problem is that during Donald Trump's prosperity, it wasn't being adequately shared, and it was not being shared with the median family and those who live below the median. They have all been living paycheck to paycheck for a long time. And we have politically turned our backs upon the real problem, which is this middle-class family and those who live below the median, and how tough their life is and how much they are not sharing in the wealth and prosperity that the country on a macro basis seems to be experiencing.
Sandy, I can tell you that there are segments of the city where I live where you don't see prosperity. And that's in a lot of central cities across this nation, where there are a lot of people who live in those cities who are probably living worse than many of us did 40 years ago. Struggling, working jobs that pay $9 an hour, no benefits, no way out.
Well, we've talked about this. The fact is that the solutions here are going to have to involve the government, because it involves the architecture of an economy that we've allowed to evolve in this direction, where business models are dependent on just what you said.
All right, guys, hang on. 844-967-2789. Friday, it means Friday, is my co-host Sandy Williams.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flying. The swimming suits are on the line, just drying. I'll meet you there for our conversation.
Hey, Calvin, I need some Kleenex, man. I'm tearing up.
Your whole vacation.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2780. Sandy, I'm tearing up.
John Prine. You know, you sort of should. He was really a great songwriter. This was his last album. He died right after he put this.
Well, because of the realization that the summer's leaving us.
Yeah.
Because that's what this music is about.
Look at our gray hair. We're definitely either between autumn and winter.
Right. Let's go back to the phone line. And I will say this, Sandy, another great conversation. It's, you know, the conversation that's, to me, that's what our show is about. Having these really tough, involved conversations that go in depth, that you don't hear everywhere. So let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, I watched the debates, and Kamala Harris, and I know that you guys must have talked about this, just between jobs right now, and so I just turned on. She's, you know, she talks about keeping her values, but then she's changing her policies when on September 4th, 2019, she says that she's absolutely against fracking, and then on January 29th or 28th, 2019, she went out there and said that she's against offshore drilling. She changes her policies. And then Bernie Sanders on NBC says, well, you know, she's still progressive. She's still progressive. And I think she's just saying things to just so she gets.
Hey, Sandy, before you respond, let me ask him one question. Hey, Gary, have you ever changed your mind? Is there a law against people changing their minds? Is it against the law?
All right.
Now answer my question, man. Answer my question.
Well, and Donald Trump is a mind changer, right? I mean, he's
Come on, man.
He's been for and against almost everything he's ever been for and against.
Abortion is a prime example.
He was a Planned Parenthood supporter, and now he's apparently on the other side of that issue. I mean, I think what we ought to look at is whether people, how they see issues and what they say they're going to do to implement them. That, you know, we don't want politicians who simply do exactly what they think. Politicians get elected by the people to carry out the people's will. And some of that is the result of their leadership, leading the people so that they develop a will that is coincident with their leadership. And some of it is the leader following the will of the people with respect to issues, or maybe seeing issues as they evolve over time so that you can understand the situation. I think her value that she's ascribing to is a notion that we want to move in the direction of avoiding climate change to the extent we can change human conduct to do that in a reasonable basis. And I think how she's described her position on fracking is that she can see that we can continue to use fracking on a basis that is also coincident with a bunch of renewable resources being implemented.
Sandy, have you ever changed your mind? Don't human beings evolve?
Well, I'm changing my mind about Gary right now. No, yeah, sure.
So go ahead, Gary. Go ahead.
It's just a conversation between Earl and Sandy, or the three of us. Are we having a conversation?
Well, hey, Gary, Gary, you know, come on, man. Come on, man. You know, you made a statement, and so we push back on what Republicans are saying across the board. She changed her mind as if there's some law she broke.
Hey, I consider myself, and I've been told by you guys that I'm a principal conservative.
No, I haven't. Oh, go ahead, man.
Okay. Now, she changed her opinion on, she said, I'm against banning guns.
She has a right to change her opinion, Gary.
Well, no, she didn't say, she's never said she was for banning guns. Okay. That's not true. She's talked about banning possibly AR-15 assault rifles. But I don't think she or anyone that's currently running for office has ever talked about banning guns. And as she said yesterday, she's a gun owner. So, okay. So I just think the hyperbole is the problem. You know, the notion that you want to create an issue out of something that isn't there based on something that it didn't say.
I'm just trying to get your opinion, if you really believe her, because Democrats, they'll believe it no matter what she says. Republicans are going to be Donald Trump no matter what he says, too.
Yeah.
It's the independents. Do you believe that the independents bought that she's changed their minds on all these different things?
Hey, Gary, first off, well, so, Sandy, thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I don't want him to take us down the road. We've got people on the line who want to talk about what we're talking about. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. Get registered to vote and get out to vote. Whether you're on the Republican side or the Democratic side, I'm very much in favor of a democracy, so everyone get out and vote. What I would say, though, to people that are on the conservative side of the aisle, like Gary and CJ and some of these people, truthfully, if you guys want an authoritarian dictatorship, and you want Project 2025, vote for Trump. I mean, talk about someone that doesn't, I have no idea even what his policies are, except for the fact that he wants Project 2025 and he wants to give tax cuts to billionaires. I don't know any other one of his policies because of the fact he's never talked about a policy. And I think also that these guys need to realize that Kamala Harris has talked about the things that Sandy has talked about, which is she's talked about childcare and childcare tax credits. She's talked about healthcare, about how she wants to make prescription drugs down to $35 for everybody. She's talked about taxes and how she wants to give tax cuts to the middle class, not the billionaire class. And she's talked about rent and mortgage, where people can't raise the prices. These big mortgage companies or big renters can't do that. So to me, if you're looking for someone that's at the kitchen table, bread and butter type issues, that's Kamala Harris.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We'll continue the conversation.
It's bound to leave you crying. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. The moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking. Just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin health officials are encouraging people to get their shots ahead of the cold and flu season. The Centers for Disease Control forecasts a milder season than last year, but that depends on how many people get their shots. Last season, about 35% of people in Wisconsin got their flu shots and 19% got the COVID vaccine. Officials say you don't have to go to your nearest Social Security office to do business with the agency. The SSA's Abigail Zapote says it's easier than ever to go online.
They can report a stolen Social Security number at identitytheft.gov and then go through our replacement process at ssa.gov/number-card to get that replacement card.
Zapote says you shouldn't carry your card in your purse or your wallet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Airport Authority has received an over $10 million grant from the Federal Aviation Administration. According to airport officials, the grant funding will go towards snow removal equipment, runway visual aid replacements, and Phase 5 construction and Phase 6 design on Taxiway A. The federal grant funding will cover about 90% of the total costs, with another 5% provided by the Minnesota Department of Transportation and another 5% from local commitments. The projects will improve safety and service. Duluth's Denfield High School entered its secure protocol again on Wednesday, about a week after another incident. According to the Duluth Police Department, the protocol was activated when they received reports of a person with a weapon in the area of the school. After investigating, law enforcement authorities determined the call was just a disturbance and the protocol was lifted at the school. The new protocol is a partial lockdown of the school, closing all entrances and exits while allowing classes to continue inside. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's one thing to have a child outside your marriage, and another thing to have people claiming to be the mom of your out-of-wedlock child all over social media with pictures of babies and fake posts. This is happening to Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters right now. The frontman acknowledged Tuesday that he had a baby girl with a woman who was not his wife. Now people are posting fake pictures of said baby and pretending to be the child's mother. Some sources are reporting that Grohl's wife, Jordan Blum, has hired a divorce attorney in light of the news. Grohl says he plans to do everything in his power to be a loving father to the new baby like he is to his three daughters with Blum. The Batman director Matt Reeves says his trilogy for the Batman will stick close to the trilogy he envisioned. Deadline reports that while Reeves was promoting his spin-off series, The Penguin, he assured fans and the media his vision for the franchise is sound. The Batman 2 is scheduled to start filming in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast. Highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
It's 64 at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just,
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. We'll get you ready for the big Alabama visiting Wisconsin Badger game and much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You know, he started by saying, do you remember when it was like September?
Yes.
You said earlier September is the best time, so he is echoing that.
Yeah, I think so.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music.
It's all about the summer, the end of summer, the glory that was summer, the continuing good weather.
All right, we're going to do this. I said we didn't give CJ an opportunity, so we called back. We're going to give him opportunity. CJ, okay. You said what?
Well, thank you for taking my call again. Gary feels what I feel most times when I call you gentlemen, because I plan on having a conversation, but I get one sentence out.
Hey, Gary, here's the deal. But CJ, here's the deal. You can't have a conversation where you decide what the conversation is going to be about.
Well, let's go.
That's not how it works.
Let's not talk about the conversation. Let's have it.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Well, you gentlemen try to put me in a box, and that's the way you phrase your questions. People want to know why she's changing her opinion. There's no law that says she can't. The mere fact is Bernie Sanders says she's saying it to get elected. He said it, not Gary.
I'm not hearing Bernie Sanders say that. Bernie Sanders is supporting her, CJ.
Yeah,
so what are you talking?
Why she's flip-flopping?
I haven't heard Bernie Sanders say that.
Well, you know, if he did say it, he would only be emulating what Donald Trump has said about himself, because Donald Trump has regularly said on the mic that, you know, whatever positions he takes are to get elected. He said you have to get elected first, then you can do what you want to do. He said that. He said that repeatedly, and it's a bit of honesty, because I think that that's clearly what's happening. But
okay.
I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle black for people who support Trump to call in and say that flip-flopping on issues or taking positions on issues that aren't consistent with positions they took yesterday or the day before is somehow disqualifying. I think what we want to look at is what are the positions that people are taking in the campaign, in the election. What are they telling the voters? Because that's what the voters should be holding them to.
All right, go ahead, CJ.
Well, people don't know because she hasn't put herself out there. She's had surrogates tell these policy changes. Now she's for reparations.
I haven't heard her say she's for reparations.
So,
Where have you heard her say that publicly, CJ?
Pardon me?
Where have you heard her say that?
You want to hear about, here's the thing. You want to talk about pitting the black people against the illegals. Well, that's because it's true. You can watch the New York City Council meetings. If you guys did research, instead of just talking over Gary and myself, we want to have a debate. But your listeners deserve to hear both sides of an issue.
Well,
that's the reason Fox has been number one for 25 years.
Oh, because they listen to both sides of the issue, CJ? Is that what you're trying to say? That on Fox News, they listen to both sides of the issue? Is that what you're saying?
They have both sides of an issue.
No. Are you saying, CJ, are you saying that Fox News has both sides of the issue? Is that what you're saying?
Most shows have both.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Come on, man. Come on with that. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. See, Sandy, that's why it's hard. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. It's so hard. I just, CJ and Gary are exactly the type of people that do not listen and to the truth and the honesty about what goes on. And then they start with the name calling, and they start with and then they try to drive home incoherent statements that are not true. And I'm so upset sometimes. I come in after listening to these people, and I don't like to talk politics, on the street or where I work or any place, even when I go to church. I don't. I do a lot. I'm retired. I do a lot of volunteerism, raising money, going to school, teaching kids how to read, and trying to get kids without a means to get an education to put them in a better light for the future. And what people like Gary and CJ call me is a Marxist. And I am far from a Marxist. I may be a patriot, but I'm not a Marxist. I am a person who actually sees this country as it is. We're multicultural. And we're in a position right now where there is such a great division between the have and the have not. And if they really did their data and they looked at and read the articles, I was reading an article about this earth and these countries like Japan and France and Mexico and Britain. Do you know, and you know I'm a lady of facts, because that's what I do all the time, is dredge up facts. In Japan, for every dollar a regular person makes working, a CEO makes $11. In France, for every dollar a regular person makes, a CEO makes $15. In the United States, for every dollar an average person makes, a CEO makes $475.
Wow.
And that is a fact. So when we're talking about the disparity between the haves and the have-nots, you have to put that in its slot and think we are the only country in the world whose CEOs make that much, there's that much difference in pay. So Gary and CJ, that's a fact.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for that timely information. Let's go to KJ from Tennessee. Good morning to you, KJ. You say what?
Well, it'd been nice if the debate actually talked about the real issues and the biggest one that faces this country, which is the deficit, which is going to top $2 trillion. Neither candidate has come forward with any kind of plan to solve this issue. The idea that we can continue to pile up debt after debt after debt and pass it on to our kids and grandkids is ridiculous. The consequences are going to be very severe. And unfortunately, with all the time, I'd like to push back a lot on your idea that somehow we're going to have to yield to the Russian army invasion of Ukraine and yield territory to them. I would remind you, Hitler invaded the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia a year before he invaded Poland, which started World War II officially. And when we gave that land to him, it wasn't even our land to give. Britain and France actually met with Hitler and handed that territory over to him. How long do you think, once he gets the Donbas region and the Crimea, that he's going to rebuild his army for a year or two, and then once it's rebuilt, he's going to invade and attack more territory inside Ukraine? You know, a dictator needs to be stopped on their first aggression, and we cannot reward giving territory to those who want to take it by military conquest. The consequences are too great, and I'm sure, both of you who are students of history know that.
So, Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I was just reading tea leaves. I was just reading the political resolve of the country. The Republican Party is more isolationist than the Democrat, but both of them, I think, have retreated from a willingness to expend the money based on a view, I guess, that's being reached about the strategic importance of it. So that's not a judgment on my part. That's just a reflection of my reading the tea leaves of what's going on. The reality might be different than what it is that you're expecting.
Well,
I think that people are trying to read tea leaves as well about what it is that, that Putin is seeking. If you know, the problem with Hitler and the Sudetenland, he did use the excuse of German speakers, and it did sound a lot like what's going on now with Ukraine. But the question is his appetite for power versus Putin's. But be that as it may, I was really just talking about the realities.
But I guess I would push back on KJ and say, so how far are you expecting this nation to go? How much of a commitment are you asking of the American people financially and any other way to stop what it is you're talking about?
Well, I mean, you know, and the fact is that in World War II, we didn't get into World War II until Japan attacked us. We watched Poland be attacked in the Blitzkrieg. We watched the Sudetenland being given up by a treaty that was signed by the British and the French. And so we didn't have the appetite at that point to expend all of our resources with respect to the European risk. We waited until the U.S. itself was at risk, which came from Japan. But those are all historic notions. I think the real question is the extent to which America can afford to be and needs to be the policeman of the world with respect to territorial disputes that go on. And I'm not sure that we can always extrapolate from a territorial dispute to Adolf Hitler and his appetite for an empire.
All right, let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what? Gene?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Gene.
Okay, I feel like I'm living in a big farce la-la land. Give me a break. You know, I just don't get this calling in with fake information, thinking he's going to change the people who support Bernie Sanders and the others. It's like, give me a break. Bernie Sanders would never support a raving lunatic who talks about himself in the third person. You got to wake up, folks. This is no normal election ever. You got a lunatic who talked about people eating cats and pets. You got a lunatic saying that there's abortion after birth. What a travesty. What do you think people are thinking of us in other countries if this maniac gets elected? In addition to that, men that support a guy like that never deserves a wife, because women, get your butts out there and vote, because this is nuts, and you think this is bad, the worst is yet to come. So ladies, get ready, march out there for your kids and your grandkids and save this country, because Kamala Harris is fighting for all of us. So get your butts out there, vote, and thank you very much. Oh, and vote blue all the way down, because all the people that have not left the party yet are still working in Wisconsin. Vote out those Republicans. They've never voted for one thing to help Wisconsin or the people here. Thank you.
All right, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines. All right.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone.
Sandy, you couldn't have ended it with an upbeat.
This is this is dreary sad. The Doors. Slamming the door.
Yeah.
Slamming the door on summer.
When the summer's gone.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2780. I'm glad it's not going today.
Well, yeah, it's a beautiful day. You know, and the discussion today is interesting because I was thinking of some of the callers. I think what we have to try to do is avoid looking at the situation and the facts, starting with the bias, and then trying to figure out how we can support our bias by analyzing the facts from that perspective. So, for instance, you know, looking at what Kamala said some time ago and deciding that, well, she's not to be trusted because she said that then and now she's saying this now. When their candidate on the other side has obviously had the same tendency, but we don't look at it then because what we're looking at is situations or facts and judging them based on a bias. And what we ought to do is develop our biases based on the situations and facts. And that's a flip side of the way to look at things. And I think we should all strive for that. We should all strive to keep an open mind and then look at situations and facts and judge them on their face and not try to look for the defect, okay? And look for the argument that can be generated out of it that is sustaining the bias we started with. That's the kind of stuff that laboratories causes huge laboratory mistakes. It's called bias error. And if you have bias error in a scientific investigation, you don't have a scientific investigation.
You know, Sandy, just seeing the difference in how two sides are looking at things, it's almost impossible to bring them together because somebody can see something so differently as she's flip-flopping, she's changing her mind, and there's something wrong with somebody who decides that, you know, I've looked at things in a different manner, so I'm going to admit that maybe what I said wasn't right. I think that's the measure of a person. I think that's what we should be looking for, not somebody who says, my mind can't be changed. Donald Trump said the other day, I'm right about everything. I mean, come on, man.
Well, I mean, that is the issue is, you know, that's what we have advisors for. Nobody knows everything. Nobody is right about everything. Everyone needs counsel. Everyone needs a broad range of information in order to reach conclusions. And the mistake people make is having a bias when they look at facts and figures and situations, because that bias error destroys the outcome. Okay, you end up with wrong outcomes if you go into it with a bias that doesn't look at things objectively. We had a bias error when we decided to go into Iraq.
Yeah.
Okay, that was clearly bias error, and so what we need to do is get rid of bias error, and we need to have people who are willing to get rid of bias and listen to situations and facts and have evolving views of things premised on that.
Senator, it's very well said. Let's go back to Mike from Kenosha. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say one thing quickly. You know, when you are elevated to the office of vice president or president of the United States, you begin to look at things with a little bit more of a purple eye than it would be a blue or a red. It just is one of those natural occurrences. So for people not to evolve, people not to change their mind from time to time, after they've had a significant, you know, a position in U.S. government, I think is, I don't know, abnormal. I think that's part of the natural evolution of a human being is when you're in a key role of, you know, 340 million people, you govern from the center. And you need to be nimble. You need to be flexible. Otherwise, you'll lose all your credit.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Brendan, quickly.
Yeah, real quickly, I just wanted to hit on a point that Sandy had brought up earlier about the totem pole. You know, public education and hunger are two things that we really need to work on in this country for the people that need that assistance. Public education was something that was able to take people in the lower financial stratosphere and give them the opportunity to go further in life. And hunger, look at what Tim Walz did in Minnesota, in his state with Meals for Kids. But I just wanted to bring that up. And if you have a food bank in your town, get some food, take $25 and grab some food and take it to the food bank and help somebody out. That's what's going to make this country
great. Hey, Brendan, I agree with everything you just said. Tom from L.A., go ahead.
All right, my topic is immigration, so I don't lose track. First, Sandy, you remind me of a college professor I had at the end of the day that would play on the weekend, Dust in the Wind, with that Summer's Gone song. So I wanted to throw that out at you. Second, Susan needs to have a segment on here called For Fact's Sake, because she's always bringing the facts.
No question.
100% correct.
Right.
I think everyone needs to check out Jane Elliott's blue-eyed, brown-eyed experiment on YouTube. I really would recommend it because it shows the whole divide and conquer. And as far as immigration, Donald Trump said he wants immigrants who have money already. The whole point of immigration of this country, the whole idea of entrepreneurship of this country, the whole idea of coming up with different ideas is actually the struggle that people go through. And it's because of that struggle financially that they come up with new ingenious ideas. The people that are already rich are already rich. They're not coming up with any new ideas. They're sitting back and you know, collecting their money. Anyway, just wanted to say
Hey,
that,
Tom, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Well, Sandy?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that was Mike that mentioned was the notion that when you assume a leadership role, you know, if you've been elected by 51% of 350 million people, when you're leading the country, you better be leading all 350 million people, so that you need to drop the strident kind of partisan position that might come from either the Republican or the Democrat, and you need to rule in a manner that is satisfactory to all of the citizens. Kamala Harris is talking about doing that. I don't think Donald Trump is.
You know who did that? Bill Clinton. Yep. And Barack Obama.
Yeah, yeah. They right. realized when they were elected, they needed to get things done. They had to represent everyone's interest. You rule from the center.
Yeah. Very well said. Sandy, thank you as always, man. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for another great week. Up next, Jane Mattner and Greg Bach Mattner on air. Enjoy this beautiful weather.
At night we swim.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, will join me in studio. Trump gets some charges dismissed, and Merrick Garland made a speech. We'll talk about
it. The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the live one-on-one discussion with Nancy Pelosi. Hear what the first female Speaker of the House thinks about the state of politics and the presidential election, Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Live coverage of Nancy Pelosi from Idea Fest, Monday night, September 16th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.